You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. New look, new coach. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Joining us now from Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll just start with this. Your impressions of Mike Pettine at his introductory press conference yesterday.
Oh, Mary, are you... Well, Chris Coons, our producer. Can you effort this and connect?
Yeah, well, we'll get Mary Kay in just a second.
Yep.
But at the meantime, we can go back to our impressions. And again, it was positive. Wanted to just throw this out there. A lot of talk right now on Twitter about Gary Kubiak as possible offensive coordinator. Adam Schefter tweeting, despite the Browns' interest, it's considered unlikely. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Right. But one thing I know about Schefty, among other things, he's got a very strong connection to that, to former Broncos. And he, that was a team he covered for a long time and covered it very, very well, which led to his national work. But when he puts out something like that, about a person who's connected to the Broncos, you know that it's something to look at. Chris, do we have Mary Kay yet? All right, we're still working on trying to get Mary Kay connected. But, yeah, back to more reaction. And I think the other thing, too, with talking about the press conference was how he handled, and it was right at the very end, but I thought – There were two subjects that were kind of, whatever you want to call them, hot button-ish. One was, of course, involving his daughter and the tweet that she put out there that basically said, who broke the news that her dad, you know, the interview went really well, going to get a second one. It's the Browns, but, you know, it's still cool type of thing. And speaking like a typical maybe 19-year-old. And he was very human about that. It was a human moment, you know, how devastated she was, not realizing the impact of her tweet, her father's prominence, whatever. I just thought, you know, you relate to that as a father, and you can and I can, that, you know, okay, yeah, let's have a conversation about it. And he said she was devastated. And then that's when I can imagine the tears start, and where's the dad going from there? Because I turn into melted butter. It's over.
Yeah, you don't want any of that.
So that's
I thought that was very good, and I thought it was handled well.
One more thing, real quick, because we are going to get Mary Kay on here. But Joe Banner and the Three Stooges thing,
that was
perfect.
Hilarious.
Perfect.
Hilarious.
You talk about taking that subject and smashing it in the face and putting it to rest.
Hilarious.
I thought that did it.
Oh, yeah, it was
all
great.
Right. Mary Kay Cabot with us now on the line from Cleveland.com. Mayor Nathan had asked, although he didn't have the connection, but the question he posed is I'll pose the same one. Just your general reaction.
Well, you know what? It was so good the first time around when you guys couldn't hear me. I really don't know if I can top what I said.
Work on it.
No, you know what? I mean, I would have to say that, first of all, very impressive. I can see why he would blow someone away in an interview because, I mean, he's just a nuts and bolts, no-nonsense guy, good personality. Like you said, you know, he showed a human side, you know, talking about the dad, talking about his daughter. You know, he's very self-assured. There's one thing that I always look for in a head coach, and that is self-confidence. You have to have that. I really do not like working with coaches that are insecure. Those, to me, are the most dangerous kinds of coaches because they're just shaky in every aspect. He just doesn't seem like he's going to get rattled by anything. He's been around. He's dealt with the New York media. He's learned things from Ozzie Newsome. There's all kinds of good things here about him, and I would have to say that, you know, he passed that first impression test for me.
Yeah, he did, and impressed me as well. When you heard him talk about the fact that he is here to bring a toughness to this team, mental and physical, that the team will be graded hard, held to high standards, and be held accountable, that seemed to be a departure from things that we had heard in the past and kind of epitomized the actionable toughness that he exuded in that conference.
You know what, though? I mean, I would have to say that, you know, I thought that the guys under Rob Chudzinski were tough, and actually, even though, you know, there were times where you wondered if a guy was being, disciplined enough. We don't know really necessarily what goes on behind the scenes. I still think that was a tough, hard-nosed football team, and that, Rob Chudzinski's been around a lot of coaches that believe that, and he coaches that way too. So, they all talk about toughness. It was one of the biggest things that Pat Shurmur talked about when he was a coach here. He had learned from all of his mentors that was the number one thing that you had to be. So I think that's, people talk about that. You have to see it. Nothing, the biggest way to show your toughness is to win a football game.
Mary Kay Cabot, our guest from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. And Mary Kay, getting into the nitty-gritty of hiring this guy, and, when the day started yesterday, it certainly seemed to be close to a done deal, somewhere in the range of 90% is what I got from somebody inside the building here. And I flew back on an early flight from Mobile. I happened to be on the flight with Doug Marrone, who was connecting in Charlotte. So when we got off the flight in Charlotte, he was heading back to Buffalo. And, of course, I was going here from Mobile. And, he, in his mind, it was a done deal, and he was moving forward. He said he had talked to Jimmy Haslam. But, in that time frame, when there was still the deal not signed, this team, we know, had a lot of candidates, and we know that Dan Quinn was someone that they had looked at and were considering and had not necessarily completely closed the door on. I know you made reference of this somewhere in a tweet yesterday. So somewhere in the course of the morning or whatever, that sat out there as a possibility, I guess, if things maybe just blew up and fell apart in the negotiations with Marrone. But it also seems like part of what also went on was Patton, I got those two connected, and they are, but Mike Patton's thoughts of, hey, look, I've strung out Doug Marrone and the Bills long enough here, and it's getting to the point of hurting them. He was quoted as saying this in Buffalo, Patton was. So it seemed like maybe he wanted to also hold the Browns' feet to the fire a little bit and say, what are we doing here? I'm ready. I want this job. What else do you need to know? Let's wrap it up.
You know what? I just posted a whole story on that on Cleveland.com, which should have hit probably maybe about a half an hour ago. The headline is something like, with Patton considering pulling his name out of respect for the Bills, the Browns could ill afford to wait for Dan Quinn. So basically, in my mind, in talking to people from both sides and all around this situation, here's my take on what happened. I do think, and I talked to Mike Patton when he was in Mobile on Wednesday afternoon, and I got the sense from him the same thing. I got the feeling that he did not want to keep the Bills waiting much longer. He does really have a lot of respect for Doug Marrone and all the Bills front office people, and he didn't want to keep them waiting. He wanted an answer as soon as possible. He was expecting to hear something from the Browns on Wednesday night, and he did hear something. What he heard was, come on back in on Thursday and we'll see what we can get done. The reason why they weren't ready to give him a commitment yet on Wednesday is because they were still considering and kicking around the notion of interviewing Dan Quinn one more time. Dan Quinn, for his part, wanted to wait until after the Super Bowl to do that second interview with the Browns. Why is that? Because, he's getting ready to play Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. Obviously, biggest game of his career and so important for the Seahawks. And he wanted to be focused on that. So he wanted this job. He wanted the Browns job. But he wanted to wait until after the Super Bowl to interview. The Browns, now knowing that Mike Patton was getting a little antsy, and, I'm connecting some of the dots here, but they really liked Dan Quinn. And, I think we have to try to find out, why would not they wait for him? Why wouldn't you do that? You've come this far. So I think that, there were a couple things at play. First of all, he's considering pulling his name. How do we know that? Because Mike Patton told that to the Bills flagship station yesterday. The quote was, I told Doug Marrone, if this goes any longer, I might have to pull out. And it was actually Doug Marrone that was kind of saying, hey, hang in there, be patient. But I think that was a factor. I think the assistants were a factor. Starting on February 3rd, it's going to start to be slim picking, so I think that was part of it. And then, there could be just that shred of doubt. Would you be able to close a deal with Dan Quinn, or would he even top Mike Patton in the interview? So I think that all those things came into play, but that's why there was just a little bit of intrigue and drama still going on yesterday.
Mary Kay, now that we have him, the big question is, who will the offensive and defensive coordinators be? I'll say defensive coordinator, not as much of an issue. So let's focus on the offensive coordinator. Who are the candidates you're hearing about and the likelihood that they may or may not be able to join the Cleveland Browns?
Well, you know what? I had been looking into that today and working on some of that and trying to figure out Gary Kubiak's interest. And now, of course, we see that Adam Schefter just tweeted recently that
It's unlikely
that Gary Kubiak will join the staff. A name that I heard yesterday, and again, I'm still trying to get this confirmed, but I threw it in my story today just because, you know, someone kind of mentioned it to me and I thought it was, you know, worthwhile throwing in there as a possibility, was Dowell Logans from the Titans under Mike Munchak. He's somebody that interviewed with the Lions last week. Again, I don't know if he's somebody they're necessarily looking at for coordinator or maybe some other position, but he's just a name that someone threw out to me that I'm looking into today. Nothing confirmed yet on that.
Three other names go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Have you guys been?
I was going to say, there are three other names that I'd heard thrown around in various outlets, NFL Network, ESPN. Was just wondering if you had any more depth to those. One would be Cam Cameron. The other would be Scott Linehan, the former offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, which would be interesting. And then Matt Kavanaugh, who coached with Mike Pettine, with the Jets, and with the Ravens, and is now the quarterback coach of the Chicago Bears under a very good offensive mind, Mark Trestman.
I have heard some of those names, and I've checked into, you know, guys like Cam Cameron to see if he would be willing to leave an LSU and come back into the NFL and how he would like this opportunity. So I think some of these things are going on. And again, I think that the ability to try to produce one of these guys and get them going here as quickly as possible was a factor in this happening yesterday. So still looking into some of these guys. I can't say for sure that I know anybody has received permission yet, but these are some of the names I'm hearing.
In some of your research too, Mary Kay, are you getting any sense of what Mike's thoughts are relative to what the Browns' overall personnel thoughts will be about the quarterback position? Because I thought it was interesting yesterday that he made sure, he seemed to go out of his way to describe Brian Hoyer as a winner. You know, the words he said about Hoyer registered with a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, he just pulled no punches there whatsoever. I mean, he just praised him up and down, you know, right from the start. So I thought that was very, very telling and very interesting. So, you know, I think that, you know, everyone can reasonably expect that Brian Hoyer will be right in the mix for, you know, the starting job, competing probably against the rookie that they bring in. And nobody is going to tell me that they're not going to pick a quarterback with their first pick. I don't know.
There will be a quarterback. I agree with you, Mary Kay.
people can say Sammy Watkins, whatever name you want to throw out to me, I'm just going to stick to that. They're going to pick a quarterback with the first pick.
Great.
Very likely. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Obviously, lots to talk about when we'll get to the coordinators next week. So enjoy your weekend. We'll speak with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mary.
All right. We'll be back with you, some of your reaction, and also Vic and I will kick around some of our thoughts about the potential offensive coordinator candidates for the Cleveland Browns when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns. She's all mine, and even though her parents don't like me inside, whenever her daddy comes.